Welcome to Academy Days, a Christian fiction podcast for teen girls. I'm your host and author, Judith. Enjoy the story. Academy Days, Episode 40, Mountain Resort. Carmen Oliver woke up crying, not with shaking sobs, but to the sound of her own whimper. Her eyes felt grimy and moist, like tears had come and dried and come again. She straightened her legs, then groaned as the ache in her knees pulled her legs back into a bent position. She turned her face against the pillow. Not now, not when medicine and therapy had left her using the wheelchair less and less, not when she needed to be making plans for college and life. Oh, and then there was that conversation she had yet to initiate with Mrs. Sawyer, an awkward conversation about why the aging woman had chosen Carmen and her mother to patronize.
"Carmen, you all right?"
Mom's voice filtered from the bedroom across the hallway. Pushing the blankets away, Carmen edged up into a sitting position.
"I'm just going to get into the jacuzzi," she said. "Need help?"
Mom said, her voice low and clogged with sleep.
"No."
Her phone read 3 a.m. Great, she would have a flare-up on a day when she, Mom, and Mrs. Sawyer had a flight to catch to North Carolina.
"I'm starting the bathwater,"
Mom said, passing by the open door of Carmen's bedroom.
"Don't fall asleep in the tub and drown."
She always said it, every time, like Carmen would purposely doze off and die in 1 foot of water. She met Mom in the bathroom doorway.
"I could just stay home," Carmen said. "Edie's here. I'd be okay."
Mom flopped a fresh towel over the side of the jacuzzi.
"Mrs. Sawyer wants you to go. She's excited to share her favorite mountain resort with both of us. Besides, she's paying you to be my part-time assistant. You'll make it. You can sleep at the resort."
Mom, so kind, so aggravatingly matter-of-fact.
"Night."
Mom disappeared back down the hallway. The pulsing warm water lulled away all stressful thought for a few minutes, and the ache in Carmen's knees and hips ebbed slightly.
"Don't get used to this, Carmen. You're going to have it out with Mrs. Sawyer. You knew you didn't deserve all this. It was too good to be true. She's just trying to make up for what happened to Lily, and you can't take advantage of her guilt forever."
Carmen jabbed at the controls on the side of the tub, silencing the whirling jets. She might as well start weaning herself off of all this luxury now. Morning came too soon, and then a long, complicated travel day followed until they finally settled into their suite at the resort. It was after 8 p.m. when Carmen sat with Mom and Mrs. Sawyer in their private suite, eating a fully serviced dinner. Balcony doors led onto a terrace lined with rocking chairs, the porch looking over the slopes of the Blue Ridge Mountains.
"I seem to think more clearly here," Mrs. Sawyer said, "even more so than at the Florida Beach condo, though my house in New England is a close second."
She cut a piece of baby asparagus in half.
"I thought it would be a nice place for Carmen to relax before going off to college. Which reminds me, where have you decided to enroll?"
Carmen scratched bits of chopped tomato away from her chicken with the tines of her fork. She could tell Mrs. Sawyer that she'd filled out an application for Ira's school, that it had been one of the first things she'd done after the relationship had become official. But then, how to explain the doubts that had crept after her ever since? She'd planned to take the regular freshman prerequisites her first semester while she figured out what she wanted to major in. But maybe. Maybe there was really something more specific she was supposed to do? She put her fork down.
"I haven't really finalized my plans yet."
Mrs. Sawyer's gnarled fingers jerked, and her knife clunked to the table.
"But Carmen, we're almost to the end of July. It's long past time to have made your plans. The semester begins in August." Carmen leaned her head on her hand, twirling a strand of her hair around her finger. "I know, I know. I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to do."
"The question is, what do you want to do?"
Mrs. Sawyer gripped the handle of the water jug, and its ice clinked against the vines carved up the sides of the crystal.
"What is your dream? Surely a smart girl like you has a few."
Carmen slowly sat up and cut a bite of chicken.
"Well, I considered culinary arts for a long time. I'm not really sure why. I guess 'cause Nana was such a good cook, and I wanted to be like her, but I guess that's kind of dumb."
Mom shook her head. "Not dumb. Just an idea you grew out of." A knock came at the door, and a room service attendant entered with a dessert cart. This was too much. Too much for even all the work Mom did for Mrs. Sawyer. Carmen glared at the collage of desserts the waiter placed on one end of the table. How gluttonous and obscene.
"You look stressed. I didn't mean to stress you," Mrs. Sawyer said.
Carmen jerked her gaze away from the glossy desserts. "I just need to pray about it more, I guess," she said. Mrs. Sawyer paused in the middle of refolding her cloth napkin.
"Oh, yes, you do that. Only I hope you do it quickly. And when you've told God what you're going to do, please tell me. I want to help, actually.
I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do," Carmen said. Mom cleared her throat.
"Sorry," Carmen said. "I shouldn't have interrupted you."
The room went quiet except for the sound of utensils. Carmen watched a cherry nestled in a concave of whipped cream roll slowly to the side as the dessert topping melted. Mrs. Sawyer took a sip of water.
"I don't wish to sound impertinent, Carmen, but do you expect an audible voice or a signed letter, or how do you suppose God intends to instruct you?"
Carmen glanced toward Mom, but she was getting up, circling the table to choose a dessert.
"So helpful."
"Well, I always thought he might reveal it by putting me in a circumstance. You know, like, I'll be doing something one day and think, wow, I could do this long term. I feel joy here. But maybe that's another idea I should outgrow." She pushed her plate to the side. The chicken might be covered in pricey sauce and surrounded by artistic garnishes, but it was also cold, and the food was basically never ending in this place. Mom perched on the edge of the couch and dug a fork into a lava brownie.
"Sounds like a reasonable idea to me," she said, around a mouthful. Now who was being rude?
Mrs. Sawyer cocked her head.
"Yes, it sounds surprisingly nice."
"Well, he might also point out a need. You know, a place I could help. And the idea might come and come again to my mind, and I might feel sad or sort of hurt or a longing to do something for the people or the place."
Mrs. Sawyer frowned. "That sounds decidedly less enjoyable."
"But I think it would lead to the same joy and excitement," Carmen said. "The same fulfillment." Pushing away from the table, Mrs. Sawyer eyed Mom.
"Your daughter is decidedly esoteric for a teenager."
Mom laughed. "She knows how to put complicated ideas into words, that's for sure." She licked whipped cream off her knuckle.
Seriously, Mom was letting the good life go to her head. Who would have thought that a year ago, this time, Mom was cooking supper with the one remaining burner that still worked on their stove? How could she sit there, in the midst of a luxury suite, and lick whipped cream off her finger like it had come out of an aerosol can? This was not normal. Why couldn't her life ever be normal, that nice, calm place in between extremes?
Maybe if life weren't so positively distracting, God would have spoken to her by now, told her what to do, given her that joy, or peace, or painful longing, or whatever. Come to think of it, Mrs. Sawyer's suggestion sounded good. A signed commissioning letter would be great.
Mom lowered her plate to her lap.
Carmen, why are you glaring at me?
Carmen ran a hand down her face. It did feel tense. Pulled in at the eyes and lips, she looked away.
Sorry. I think I'll go outside for a while. Breathe some of that good mountain thinking air.
She smiled toward Mrs. Sawyer and rolled her chair back from the table before wheeling herself toward the sliding doors.
I'm concerned about her, Mrs. Sawyer said. Doesn't she want to go to college?
Carmen slid the door closed behind herself and wheeled along the terrace, past other doors. Some of them had the curtains open, the people inside eating dinner too. She kept going, moving past the line of rocking chairs until a sidewalk curved away from the building and down a slope towards a round pool. At its edge, she eased out of her chair and sat down on the concrete tiles, then dangled her feet in the sun-warmed water.
What did she want to do with her life?
Ira's face popped into her mind. Well, of course, Ira would have something to do with her future. A big something. On cue, Ira's name popped up on the phone she'd laid by her side. Carmen glanced at the time. They had exactly 20 minutes left to talk before one of the boundaries they'd set into place would kick in. What a conversation that had been. The boundaries chat. Kinda cringy. But now, well, it was sort of freeing.
Hello?
And with the ease of best friends, their conversation flowed from there. Well, Carmen's frustrated monologue flowed from there.
How can I make a life-changing decision about college when I'm not even sure my current life is on track?
Carmen gave the water a kick. She keeps doing things for us, and she wants to do more. You don't deserve it.
No.
Like, if you'd done something, worked for all the stuff Mrs. Sawyer was lavishing on you, you'd feel better.
Yes.
Right. I get you.
Carmen pulled her phone away from her ear and stared at it before lifting it to her face again.
Then why does your voice sound like that?
Like what?
Like you're just saying what I want to hear. Like you're agreeing but not actually agreeing.
How can you tell all that from the way my voice sounds?
Carmen slapped her hand down on the tiles.
Because your voice goes all slidey, up and down, smooth.
Oh, yes?
Yes, Ira, I am this close to saying goodbye for the evening.
You'd hang up on me?
No, I'd give my farewell remarks and wait for you to give your farewell remarks. Where farewell remarks are involved, there is no hanging up on.
Huh. I've never had that explained to me so clearly before.
Carmen rolled her eyes. Okay, tell me what you really think. Tell me why you disagree.
Ira laughed, the sound of his amusement halting the swirling motion of Carmen's feet in the water.
No time left.
Carmen glanced at her screen. He was right. They had exactly 30 seconds before they had to hang up.
But you'll figure it out. It's that insight of yours, and once you know the truth, you walk in it. And that's part of the reason I like you.
A lot.
A shivery wave of hope and excitement wove its way through the evening breeze and lifted Carmen's hair away from her neck.
Ira, that's sweet, but good night, Carmen.
Night, Carmen said, and the phone went silent in her hand.
What a guy.
The sound of flip-flops slapping against cement bounced off the little walls surrounding the reflecting pool. Just great. She hadn't even gotten to the praying part of her alone time. Not that she hadn't been praying about this very thing for months. A girl, near her own age, stalked past Carmen and plunked down halfway round the pool. She didn't dip her feet in the water, just sat at the edge, arms wrapped around her knees like a depressed grasshopper.
Ignore or engage, leave or stay.
There were other meditation spots all around the grounds. Earlier that day, as their Uber had driven them up the resort drive, she'd spotted a guy with an easel in a gazebo partway down the mountain.
that he'd vacated by now, what with the changing shadows of evening and all. She could go there. But the check-in clerk had also given a slight caution about the occasional presence of bears in the area, about not wandering off alone early in the morning or late in the evening. The grasshopper girl sniffed and rubbed her arm across her eyes. Are you all right? Carmen asked. The girl turned her head, her hair dark and curly like Carmen's, fanning out over her hunched back. Oh, hi. The girl rocked slightly and then sort of plopped into a cross-legged position. I'm just upset about something. She sniffed and shrugged. Nothing earth-shattering, though. Carmen swirled her toes in the water. I getcha. Sometimes life is just frustrating. Totally. The girl stared at the concrete lip of the pool. I could have saved myself this frustration, though. I knew I was making trouble for myself. She uncurled her legs and dipped her own feet into the water. You know those stories about summer camp romances? The two teenage counselors meet and there's always that one romantic evening together? Carmen thought of Lacey, the way books lined an entire wall of her friend's room. She probably had a dozen books with that exact same subplot. I mean, yeah, in a general sense. I guess everybody knows that story. Grasshopper Girl sighed. That did not happen to me. Don't roll your eyes, Carmen. Don't roll your eyes. Were you hoping it would? I guess. The other girl stood up and went to a lamp post nearby. She flicked a switch, and lights glowed beneath the surface of the water. She came back and sat down again. See, I live here, year-round. My dad works security. It's not summer camp, but, well, there's people constantly coming and going, and, well, I guess I wanted this summer to be different. To be able to claim one of those people as a friend, so I flirted around with this guy. Oh, no. Please don't say she did anything. Anything. And he treated me like I was some kind of cute mountainside hobbit. He left today. No phone number exchange, no social media requests, nothing. Carmen nodded slowly. She'd felt that disappointment before, that place where imagination and reality cracked apart like a broken mirror. It's confusing, she said, when we want something to happen a certain way and it doesn't. Tell me about it, the girl said. And waiting is kind of brutal. Totally. She scooted closer to Carmen. I'm Molly, by the way. Carmen. So what are you waiting for? I mean, you sound like you're kind of where I am right now. Carmen rubbed her hands over her knees. Sitting on the ground had probably been a bad idea today. I'm not sure what to do about college. Molly nodded. Oh yeah, my dad is already pushing me to think about that too, even though it's 3 years away. She shrugged. Mostly I just want to try life away from here. She waved at the darkening grounds where lights lit up the balconies running along the various housing facilities and the entrances to hiking trails or activity areas. I love this place, but you feel restless? Yeah, what if I stay here all my days until I'm as shriveled up as Mrs. Vera? Who? Mrs. Vera. She owns the place. She inherited it from her father. So you're afraid you'll get trapped here? Molly nodded. I know what it's like to feel trapped. Carmen nudged the wheelchair. But God has helped me realize that with him in my life, there's always going to be some way to reach out beyond myself. He'll never leave me to suffocate in a bubble all my own. Molly looked towards the wheelchair. Is that yours? I thought maybe the wind had pushed it here from the terrace. She glanced down to where Carmen's toes wiggled in the water. You live life fully, don't you? Carmen blinked. I suppose so. I mean, I do what I can. Molly nodded. Thought so. She hopped into the water for a moment and scooped something up before sitting on the rim of the pool again.
People are always dropping stuff in here. Keys, pens, random toys.
She held up a plastic fish.
Carmen took the fish and twisted the little knob on its side. Its fin and tail whirred into motion. She bent and released the toy to motor halfway across the pool before it lost steam and sank again.
"Just like me," Molly said, telling myself something big was going to happen this summer, until it suddenly didn't.
Carmen laughed. "Don't forget, a fish might sink, but it can still breathe. Life goes on."
She pointed to the dark shape lying in the glow of the underwater lights, "and all it needs is for someone stronger to lift it to the surface again." Molly nodded slowly, then peered at Carmen.
"You're easy to talk to, and I've only known you for like 10 minutes. Do all your friends tell you their problems like this?"
The practice room where she, London, Nora, and Lacey had met last year popped into Carmen's mind. By May, their conversations had become freer and natural. What would it be like not to be with her friends this coming fall? What about all those moments where she'd been unsure how to speak into their problems? Those moments she'd been praying, even as words were coming out of her mouth. And then, somehow, she'd said the right thing. Those moments had been so fulfilling.
Carmen looked up toward the stars. "I think only because I know how to listen."
"I can tell." Molly got to her feet, her eyes on the bright screen of her phone. "My mom's wondering where I am. Do you need help getting back into your wheelchair?"
Carmen pulled her feet from the water. "Probably."
She stood with Molly's help and settled into the chair again.
"Thanks, Molly."
Molly shrugged. "I'm here to serve. I even have a badge I wear sometimes."
Carmen shook her head.
"No, I mean thanks for helping me figure something out."
"Oh, okay, sure."
Molly took a few steps up the path.
"You okay from here?"
Carmen nodded.
"Yeah, I think so."
Molly climbed the path ahead of Carmen and disappeared into the shadows of an arched walkway. Carmen wheeled herself up to the terrace and passed the line of rockers again.
"Okay, God," she prayed, pausing outside the doors to the suite.
"I'm listening, and I think I'm hearing what you're saying. Thanks."
Thanks for listening to another Academy Days episode. I know it's been a while since I posted an episode, but thanks for rejoining the story. Be back soon. Bye!